Let's count it down. 8:10 a.m. Everyone, another week goes by and you're right back with all your friends on the number one Jewish radio show in Pittsburgh. Today, Pittsburgh, tomorrow, the world. Hi, I'm Hirsch DeLynn. It's Parshas Vayishlach, and our father Yaakov, Jacob, returns to the land of Israel after 20 years working hard for the evil Laban. This time he has come with his two wives, his children, and plenty of wealth. But he still has one small problem. His brother Esau is still looking to settle a few scores, and his coming with 400 stormtroopers. So Jacob first prepares for war. He splits his family into two camps and then prays to Hashem, God. And then sends gifts just in case. Maybe he can stop the whole thing before it gets out of hand. Well, I guess it worked because Esau met Yaakov, kissed him, and they both went their separate ways. And probably the fact that Jacob was able to wrestle and win a hand-to-hand fight with the spirit of Esau helped him change the physical Esau for the better. And then there's much more excitement and intrigue in this week's Torah portion, so be sure to find yourself a local synagogue and go and listen to the Torah as it is being read. Meanwhile, the award-winning staff is ready for another exciting Shabbat weekend. Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, Miss Devorah DeLynn, Chef Chaim Reisman, of course, Musical Moist. Be right there with you, getting in the mood for another Shabbos the night away. We'll have your community announcements and Mazel Tovs along with current news fresh from Israel National Radio coming up on the half hour. The program today is sponsored in part by Ed Kramer of Kramer's Windows, by Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, and by Artistic Photography when you want to get it right the first time. By the way, they also sponsor the Jewish Experience Radio Program's website, jewishexperienceradio.com. Stop by for a visit and stay for a Jewish experience. Candlelighting time this week is no later than 4:37 p.m. So, I know you've heard of Superman. Well, here's Silverman, Pittsburgh's Man of Silver, to tune you in and turn you on.
Yeah, that's me, Silverman, able to polish 6 bechas in about 3.6 seconds.
Wow, that's heavy.
That's heavy. Okay, let's get some music going here, because that's what it's all about. Here's Miami Boys with Shabbos Kodesh. I'm Moshe Pekar, and you're tuned in and good to go on the J.E.
Shabbos, 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 Kodesh. Ambas cyndes ioedd yn gosod. Ci fwy siomad, yn cwm latwyd.
Siafod, siafod, siafod cyndes ioedd yn gosod. Ci fwy siomad, ci fwy siomad, yn cwm latwyd.
Siafod, siafod, siafod cyndes ioedd yn gosod. Ci fwy siomad, ci fwy siomad, yn cwm latwyd.
And that was Shabbos Kodesh with Miami Boys. Now, Hirsch.
Sir.
I had a little dreidel.
I made it out of clay.
I made it out of clay.
I said that.
And Herschel, in just 2 weeks, it's dreidel we shall play.
Ooh.
Well, it's 2 weeks to Hanukkah. What do you say, Hirsch?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Rabbi Meir Goldwasser to tell us where home really is. Rabbi?
Yaakov, on his way home to Canaan, after being in the house of his uncle Lavan, sent a message to his brother Esav. Im Lavan garti, I have lived with Lavan. The word garti also implies that Yaakov was saying, I have been a stranger, an outsider, and I have acquired many material possessions. Yaakov's true home was in matters of the neshama, of Torah and mitzvahs. To all physical affairs, to material wealth and comfort, Yaakov felt like an outsider. He felt as if he were just visiting temporarily with these material possessions. Among the guests that had come to spend Shabbos with the Baal Shem Tov, there was a simple villager who came from a small farming settlement near the town of Mizrich. When the villager took leave of the Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov told him, "When you are in Mizrich, stay over for a day and give regards from me to one of my closest disciples, the great rabbi and scholar, the holy tzaddik, Rebbe Dov Ber." The chassid of the Baal Shem Tov was delighted to be given this message, and with great joy he set off on his journey to the Mizricher Magid. When he arrived at the Magid's house, he found an old broken-down house with panes missing from half the small windows. Entering the house, he saw a middle-aged man with an extraordinary noble appearance, and immediately realized that this indeed must be the Mizricher Magid. The guest, glancing around him, had meanwhile apprised himself of the situation in the house. Poverty was apparent everywhere. The Rebbe Rav Dov Ber sat on a heavy rough piece of wood. His students sat on planks supported by rough wooden blocks. The Magid was overjoyed to receive personal regards from his master the Baal Shem Tov, and he asked his welcome guest to make himself comfortable and to sit down. After having fulfilled his mission, the villager could no longer contain himself. Turning to the Magid, he said, "I hardly know what to say to you. I myself am far from being a rich man. But if you will come to me at home, you will find, Baruch Hashem, a chair, a table, a bed for the children, and other furniture." Replied the Magid, "At home? At home is different, a different story altogether." The Magid's answer impressed itself upon the simple villager. The world with all its comforts, with all its palaces and mansions, and all material possessions is nothing more than a tent erected during the journey of life to sleep over for a night or rest for a day or two. And on a journey, after all, only the bare necessities are necessary. But when the journey is over and one comes home, well, at home it's different.
All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time, and it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort, Funeral Home Supervisor, and did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600. Michael Hilgefort, Supervisor. By the way, if you're over 62 and you own your own home, find out how you can get money from your home without having to ever pay it back as long as you live in that home. Call 412-562-2220. Get tax-free money now by calling 412-562-2220 to participate in a government-sponsored home equity conversion. First Mariner Bank, an equal opportunity lender. I don't have to tell you, utility rates are expected to rise this winter, and it's not too late to save money by reducing your utility bills by installing new energy-saving windows. Call Kramer Windows, your neighborhood window contractor, with many business and residential references in the Jewish community. I've known Ed for many years, and the people that have benefited by his windows rave about the money they save due to the high cost of energy today and the great service Ed provides. Ed Kramer says, do a room or do the whole house. You'll be pleasantly surprised at the impact new energy-saving windows will make on your utility bills. And guess what? He offers free estimates. He says, our low overhead means the best prices anywhere. Call Ed today at 412-848-2262 to schedule a visit. That's 412-848-2262. Do it today before your next utility bill makes you wish you did it today. That's 412-848-2262. Ed Kramer, Kramer Windows. And now, back to the music with Moshe Popov.
Existence, certaine unité,
that was Shlomo Simcha with that special melody, a special melody. And actually, Shlomo Simcha happens to be an ex-classmate of mine. We grew up together in London, England.
So, do you still keep in touch?
Sometimes, but it's been a while since we've spoken.
Continuing with the second part of his historical series on Hanukkah, here is the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
Part two of the Hanukkah story. Events that sparked the Chashmonai revolt. While Antiochus was abroad fighting the Egyptians, a rumor spread among the Jews that he had died in battle. Jason, taking advantage of this report, attacked Jerusalem, massacred many Jews, and drove Menelaus from power. However, Antiochus returned to Jerusalem, incensed at Jason's affront to his authority. The king massacred some 40,000 Jews, restored Menelaus to power, and despoiled the Beis HaMikdash of all remaining holy vessels, including the golden table and menorah. Encouraged by the Hellenists, Antiochus also instituted harsh decrees aimed at destroying the Jewish religion, effectively plunging the Jewish people into a terrible spiritual exile in their own country. Indeed, the 3 years of 3594 to 3597 of Antiochus's evil decrees are among the blackest in Jewish history. Despite the fact that the Jews dwelled in their land and the Beis HaMikdash was still standing. After plundering the Beis HaMikdash, Antiochus turned it into a pagan temple. The divine service was abolished and statues of Greek idols were set up. On the 25th of Kislev 3594, hogs were offered on the altar to Greek gods. Possessions of the scriptures were forbidden, and any Jew found studying them was cruelly executed. Observance of the Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and circumcision was punishable by torture and death. Why did the Greeks object so greatly to these three mitzvos? Clearly, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and circumcision represented the ultimate challenge to the Greek worldview that man is the center of the universe and solely determines right and wrong. Cessation of work on Shabbos is a reminder that Hashem is in control of nature. Proclaiming Rosh Chodesh, upon which the festivals, times of divine closeness, are based, shows that time is not merely a mundane procession of moments, but is instead infused with holiness through the authority granted by the Torah to the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Supreme Court. And circumcision teaches that the purpose of the human body is to serve Hashem and not to be indulged and glorified for its own sake. Ideas in direct contrast to Greek philosophy. As a final insult, in order to attack the sanctity of the Jewish family, the Greeks decreed that prior to her wedding, a bride must be violated by the local Greek official, in some ways the single most abhorrent edict of all. Many Jews died resisting these terrible decrees. Women caught circumcising their children were executed in gruesome fashion, along with their innocent infants and entire families. An elderly Rabbi Elazar was killed for refusing to eat pork, indeed for refusing to eat kosher meat and pretend it was pig's flesh. A woman, Chana, allowed her 7 sons to die horribly in her presence rather than submit to idol worship. The distraught mother then hurled herself off a roof. Stories such as these fired the Jewish people, giving them the fortitude to withstand the terrible persecutions and to revolt.
Now, from the largest independent news organization in the Middle East, here's Ernie Singer with Israel National News.
The Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade terrorist group claims it has developed a Qassam rocket with a range of 18 kilometers or 11 miles, putting most major Israeli population centers within range of an attack from Gaza, Judea, and Samaria. A terrorist leader has told an Arab news agency that his gang has the advanced weapons and also is planning suicide attacks. His comments reported days before Thursday's rocket strikes, one of which hit a southern Ashkelon industrial area. In the past 2 weeks, Arab terrorists have fired 92 rocket and mortar shells on Israel. Israel imposing a general closure early Friday morning on PLO-assigned areas of Judea, Samaria, and Gaza in response to the escalation of rocket attacks, the closure not resulting in the closure of the Karni commercial crossing, which is used to bring goods into PLO-controlled Gaza. Defense Minister Shaul Mofaz says that Israel will not permit a continuation of rocket attacks and will respond with force. He has fallen short of indicating that a ground incursion or major military operation are on the drawing board. PLO Interim Prime Minister Nabil Shaath says he does not intend on heading the interim government and has submitted his resignation to PLO Chairman Mahmoud Abbas in order to head the Fatah group's election campaign. At the moment, it is unclear who will head the interim government, which is being formed following Ahmed Khoury's resignation as Prime Minister to run for a spot in the PLO legislature. Official results for municipal primaries in the eastern PLO-assigned areas are due out on Sunday, but preliminary results out on Friday indicate Hamas victories in most major centers except for Ramallah. Even there, the ruling Fatah faction placing second to the Popular Front terrorist group. Israeli Arab Knesset member Mohammed Barakeh has told the PLO's news network that internal disputes probably will prevent the three current Arab parties from running on a united list. Polls have shown that the separate list may leave the Arabs without any specific representation in the next Knesset. Responding to criticism that the Arab legislators ignore needs of their constituents, Barakeh says that nine Arab members of Knesset are, in his words, in charge of 30% of the general activists in the Knesset and the social issues in particular. Ahead of Monday's Likud primary, a virtual tie has been recorded between frontrunners Sylvain Shalom and Benjamin Netanyahu. The poll finding that in case of a second round between Netanyahu and Shalom, which would take place if the winner receives less than 40% of the vote, the former prime minister would defeat the foreign minister by a margin of 56% to 38%. A Mayan Shekel farewell party for Histadrut chairman Amir Peretz is one of the items on the 2006 budget up for discussion by the labor union on Sunday. Peretz announcing his resignation after winning the election to become chairman of the Labor Party. The event is scheduled for January 1st and 2nd, coinciding with the organization's 85th birthday. The Histadrut is fighting a 1.2 billion Shekel deficit that has delayed pay hikes for its staffers over the past 2 years. Former Army Chief of Staff Moshe Ya'alon is not letting a civil lawsuit filed against him disrupt his stay in the United States, according to Israel Government Radio. The class action lawsuit brought by a group of Lebanese nationals was filed in the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia, where Ya'alon is serving as a research fellow at a Washington institute. Ya'alon refused to accept the lawsuit when it was delivered to him, according to the government radio. The suit filed by a group calling itself the Center for Constitutional Rights relates to civilian deaths and injuries in the 1996 shelling of a United Nations compound in South Lebanon's Kafr Kana. Last week, the group filed a class action lawsuit against Avi Dichter, the former head of the Shin Bet General Security Service, taking advantage of his presence in Washington. The lawsuit submitted on behalf of family members of 14 Arabs who were killed during the targeted killing of Hamas leader Salah Shahadi in Gaza. You don't necessarily associate yoga with Torah, but maybe you should. Find out what I mean with Yishai Fleischer and Alex Trayman and their guest Diane Bloomfield of Torah Yoga on the internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com. Shabbat is Tet Zion, the 16th day of Kislev on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast, partly cloudy, hazy, and colder with rain starting in the north and reaching the center of the country Friday afternoon, accompanied by gusty winds. On Shabbat, occasional showers and thunderstorms. Shabbat afternoon through Monday, the rain will be mostly over the north, with a chance of snow at the top of the Hermon. In Jerusalem on Friday, 14 degrees centigrade, 57 Fahrenheit. The Golan Heights, 15 degrees centigrade, 59 Fahrenheit. At the Red Sea, 24 degrees centigrade, 75 Fahrenheit. At the Dead Sea, 20 degrees centigrade, 68 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
And we want to wish all our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat. No show would be complete without the Mazel Tovs, and that's the favorite part of the program this week. Dr. Hirsch and Trudy Wax on the engagement of their granddaughter Rivka Leah.
Mazel Tov.
And Dr. Mark Stateman on the birth of a grandson.
Wow, Mazel Tov.
And Dr. and Mrs. Chaim Udelman on the birth of a daughter.
Keep them coming.
Well, I can't because that's the last one, but I see to make it into the Mazel Tovs this week, you got to be a doctor. So if you're a doctor and you want to be in the Mazel Tovs, give us a call. Taking a look at the events around the community this week, there's a new learning opportunity at Lubavitch Center each night from 8:30 to 10 p.m. There'll be an opportunity to learn with a partner. For more information, please call the yeshiva at 412-422-7300. The Judaic Library at Lubavitch Center is open to the public on Sundays, 12 to 4:30 p.m., Wednesdays, 3 to 4 and 7 to 8, and Motzei Shabbos. That's 1 hour after Shabbos for 2 hours. Stop in and check out a book or two and use the extensive research volumes available. The Mystic's Guide to the Bible Course, 8 p.m. at the Agency for Jewish Learning, 2740 Beachwood Boulevard. Call the Kotel for more information at 412-420-0220. The Alvin Weinberg Father and Son Learning Program continues at the Pittsburgh Kotel this Shabbos at 7, actually after Shabbos, 7:15 p.m. for boys in grades 1 to 8. There's pizza and prizes. Due to construction, they ask that you use the rear entrance. The meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous meets at the Aleph Institute every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Program's a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating and or their weight. For more information, call Ilana at 412-422-2224. And if you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, you can call us at 412-979-5770, or you can email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And don't forget, candlelighting time this week is no later than 4:37 p.m. And now, back to the music with Moshe Papov.
And that was Deddy with Kihaim.
Well, we talked about Jacob, we talked about Esau, we talked about everybody, but we haven't yet talked about Dina. So now, here with a discussion of Dina on the feminine perspective, here's Deborah DeLynn.
In this week's Parsha, Parshas Vayishlach, we learn the importance of using our physical traits the right way. If a person is blessed with good looks and a fine form, people naturally gravitate toward them. Though this is not true in all cases, a popular person is usually beautiful. Whether the person is just physically beautiful or spiritually so, what they look like enhances their appeal. So now I'm sure there are people thinking, what about that phrase, beauty is only skin deep? Though this is true, being pretty is all very nice. It's really a person's spiritual beauty that attracts people. For example, we know that Esther Hamalka, Esther, the heroine of the Purim story, was not really an attractive person, but the Torah calls her Yafet To'ar, a beautiful appearance, because her inner beauty was reflected on her face, which gave her a beautiful appearance. On the other hand, Vashti was physically beautiful, but she was not a nice person, so her beauty appeared shallow to everybody. In practical terms, good looks are given to us by Hashem, but we choose what to do with those looks. I know of a girl who is such a nice person. Her midos are reflected on her face, and she is well-liked by everybody, which makes her appear very pretty. So where in Parshas Vayishlach do we see this? In this week's Parsha, we learn about the episode of Shechem and Dinah. Dinah was the daughter of Yaakov. She was a beautiful and God-fearing girl. Shechem was a prince of the city, and the city was named after him. So Shechem was a prince of the city of Shechem. How did Dinah get mixed up with Shechem? Well, one day, she saw some other girls playing in the street and went out to see what the commotion was. Of course, when she went out, she was completely covered, including her face. However, when she went outside, the corner of her veil slipped and it showed part of her arm. Just from this, Shechem saw her arm and got an idea of her beauty from it. He took her to his palace and the next day went to Yaakov to ask permission to marry her. The story goes that Shimon and Levi, the brothers of Dinah, were furious at Shechem and they ended up killing the entire city of Shechem. The lesson is obvious. Hashem gave Dinah a gift, the gift of physical beauty. For us today, going outside is not a sin, of course. But Dinah was such a righteous person that going out in public in a city where the place was known for its immorality, it's not really the proper conduct. Today we can look back on this episode and learn from Dinah's mistake. We must always use our gifts properly. Here's a story to illustrate this. There's a story in the Gemara of a great man named Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was very good looking, both physically, and since he was a great Torah scholar, his spiritual beauty was reflected in his face, making him doubly attractive. The story goes that one day, while Rabbi Yochanan was bathing in the Jordan River, a powerfully built man came running up to him. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Use your strength for good deeds." The bandit said, "Use your good looks for women." Rabbi Yochanan said, "If you think I'm beautiful, I can introduce you to someone who is even more so. Come with me and meet her." The bandit came with Rabbi Yochanan and became enrolled in his yeshiva. He later married Rabbi Yochanan's sister and became one of the greatest scholars in the Talmud, whom we know today as Reish Lakish. Let's take it upon ourselves to act as Rabbi Yochanan did, to always use our gifts in the proper way. Rabbi Yochanan succeeded in converting a non-Jew and a bandit at that. If we use our gifts the right way, the way they were meant to be used, our beauty will become enhanced by the stronger spiritual beauty that resides in our soul. Try extra hard to make sure we utilize our gifts the correct way, and we will surely hasten the coming of Mashiach, when peace will be restored in the world and the true beauty of godliness will be revealed to the world. Have a good Shabbos.
bechetbo ay avo ve achavo veshoto yigere u gilorim nososim besimchoti tzo bechetbo ay avo ve achavo veshoto yigere yo chavro chavro
By the way, if you're over 62 and you own your own home, find out how you can get money from your home without having to ever pay it back as long as you live in that home. Call 412-562-2220. Get tax-free money now by calling 412-562-2220 to participate in a government-sponsored home equity conversion. First Mariner Bank, an equal opportunity lender. I don't have to tell you, utility rates are expected to rise this winter, and it's not too late to save money by reducing your utility bills by installing new energy-saving windows. Call Kramer Windows, your neighborhood window contractor, with many business and residential references in the Jewish community. I've known Ed for many years, and the people that have benefited by his windows rave about the money they save due to the high cost of energy today and the great service Ed provides. Ed Kramer says, do a room or do the whole house. You'll be pleasantly surprised at the impact new energy-saving windows will make on your utility bills. And guess what? He offers free estimates. He says, our low overhead means the best prices anywhere. Call Ed today at 412-848-2262 to schedule a visit. That's 412-848-2262. Do it today before your next utility bill makes you wish you did it today. That's 412-848-2262. Ed Kramer, Kramer Windows. You know, it's Erev Shabbos, and we've been sitting in the radio station here for almost 45 minutes. And boy, have I been working up an appetite.
Me too.
I guess that means you know what time it is.
It's time for the one and only
Prince of the Gastronomic Delights. Chef Chaim Reisner, and here he is with another exciting Shabbos and post-Shabbos recipes. Chaim?
Thanks, Hirsch. For this week's Parsha, we're going to continue with our Malava Malka theme. We're going to prepare pasta primavera with fish. You're going to need one large pot of boiling salt water. Prepare your carton or your box of linguine al dente. Remove and rinse and set aside. Now, you're going to need, for the primavera, a half a cup of extra virgin olive oil, one half red bell pepper peeled and seeded and sliced thin, a quarter of a green bell pepper peeled, seeded, and sliced thin, a half of a sweet onion, like a Vidalia onion, chopped very fine, a half a cup of fresh parsley chopped fine, 1 teaspoon of salt, that's sea salt, and a quarter of a teaspoon of black ground pepper, and 8 cups of water, 4 tablespoons of Parv chicken soup stock powder, and 4 or 5 knot shrimps, that's the kind made from pollock fish, sliced in half and cut into thin slices. Now to prepare, using the same pot you boiled the linguine in, after it's been dried out, place your olive oil in the pot, turn on the heat, and add all of the vegetables, the red, the green pepper, the sliced onion, the parsley. You're going to bring that to a simmer, and simmer for maybe 2 minutes, perhaps 3 minutes, until it becomes glossy. Add the salt and the pepper, then add your water. Bring the water to a boil, add the chicken stock powder, bring that to a boil again, and then immediately place your pasta into that pot, stir it well, and after it's completely coated, add the sliced pieces of fish to it, stir it again very, very well, shut the light off, and there you have it, Hirsch. You have a wonderful pasta primavera. Guess what, Hirsch? You made it. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, that was Avram Rosenblum with Solid Gold.
Here's Rabbi Meir Goldwasser with a very touching story about how the reward for a mitzvah is really just the mitzvah. Rabbi?
I would like to tell the following story. Le'iloi Nishmas, Rev Dovber ben Menachem Mendel Borenstein, my beloved father-in-law, who passed away a week ago today. In the cobblestone town of Tzfas, in Eretz Yisrael, just over 400 years ago, there lived a simple Jew who served Hashem with integrity. He lived the ideal and walked humbly with Hashem. He was admittedly unlearned, but he was fluent in all the prayers in the Siddur, and he fulfilled the mitzvahs to the best of his ability. As he recited Tikkun Chatzos every night, he mourned the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and entreated Hashem to send Moshiach. One night, as he was about to close his prayer book, he heard a knock at the door. "Who's there?" he asked as he rose. "Eliyahu HaNavi," a voice responded. Without hesitation, the simple Jew opened the door. As Eliyahu the prophet entered, the house became filled with light, and the children woke up and were very joyous. With a happy heart, the simple Jew escorted his honored guest to the most comfortable chair in his house. I have been sent here to study with you and to reveal to you the exact time of the coming of Moshiach, Eliyahu said as he turned to his host. The Jew's face beamed with joy as he heard this wonderful news. Eliyahu himself will be my tutor, he thought. This was better than anything he had ever imagined. I would be happy to learn with you, he replied enthusiastically. But there is one condition, Eliyahu noted. You must reveal to me what singular mitzvah you performed on the day of your bar mitzvah. The heavenly court has decided that as a reward for this particular mitzvah, you would merit that I reveal myself to you and teach you the hidden secrets of the Torah. The Jew's face became downcast. If that is the case, he replied, I am willing to forgo the honor of studying with you. The mitzvahs I performed were for the glory of God alone. I was taught to act modestly and not be boastful of the mitzvahs I have done. No one but Hashem needs to know of my deeds. With this, Eliyahu vanished. Meanwhile, his refusal had caused a great commotion in heaven. The heavenly court was astonished that anyone would be willing to forego studying with Eliyahu HaNavi just to ensure that their deeds were entirely for the sake of heaven. It was decided that Eliyahu would again reveal himself to this Jew and teach him the mystical concepts of the Torah, but this time unconditionally. And so it was. The following evening, the Jew again heard a knocking at the door. As he completed his prayers of Tikkun Chatzos, it was, of course, Eliyahu HaNavi. The Jew was overjoyed when he heard that Eliyahu would become, after all, his personal tutor. At the same time, he was relieved to be assured that he had indeed made the right decision the previous night. From that midnight on, Eliyahu became a frequent guest at his home. They would sit through the night and study the Torah. It didn't take long for Eliyahu to transform this simple Jew into a great Torah scholar. Soon this simple Jew had a thorough grasp of all aspects of the Torah. Yet he remained discreet and unassuming. Until the day of his death, no one knew of his saintliness or of his unusual midnight guest. After he passed away, the heavenly court decided that this person deserved a very, very great reward. It was decided that his soul be sent down to the world once again. This time, however, his righteousness would become revealed to all, and he would become a leader of the Jewish people. This story was related to the Baal Shem Tov by his teacher, Rev Odom Baal Shem, mentor of the Nistorim, the hidden saints who were granted a great knowledge of the mystical aspects of the Torah. Rev Odom Baal Shem said, you merited that your soul is in fact the soul of this good Jew from Tzfas. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser wishing you all a good Shabbos.
As we put the wraps on another show, there's a new learning opportunity at Lubavitch Center. Don't forget, each night, 8:30 to 10 p.m., and you can learn with a partner. Call Yeshiva at 412-422-7300. And the Judaic Library at Lubavitch Center is open to the public Sundays, Wednesdays, and Motzei Shabbos. And you can call the yeshiva again at 412-422-7300. The Mystic's Guide to the Bible Course, 8 p.m. at the Agency for Jewish Learning, 412-420-0220. And the Alvin Weinberg Father and Son Learning Program, Pizza and Prizes, every Motzei Shabbos after Shabbos, 7:15 p.m. And the meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous meets at the Olive Institute every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30. And, of course, if you'd like to have your events on our program or Mazel Tovs, you can call us at 412-979-5770. Or email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And just want to mention that we had a great response to our interview last week with Akiva Werber. If you'd like to see more people like that on the program, send me an email or give me a call. Let me know what you think. We are always out in the outlook for interesting people that are relevant to the Jewish community of Pittsburgh. And as the Shabbos approaches, I want to be sure to thank our faithful and cutting-edge staff, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoish.com, Dr. Michael Schulman, Chef Chaim Reisner, and Ms. Devorah DeLynn, and our engineer and creative genius, Jeremy Bossy, for another outstanding show. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week is no later than 4:37 p.m. Until next week, I'm Hirsch DeLynn. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat. Shalom.